Hey, good morning, good morning, good morning, my beautiful, beautiful family here at Church at Southside. My name is Freddie. It's so good to be back with y'all. I love y'all, each and every one of you. We're going to say a quick prayer, and then Pastor Keith is going to get up here. And what I want each and every one of us to do is, if you can, for just a little bit, open yourselves up and be ready to receive what God has. Because it doesn't matter what words we say. What matters is what God wants to get to you. So we're just going to say a quick prayer. Lord God, we thank you so much that we get to be here with our family and friends. We thank you so much, Lord, that we get to walk out what it is that you've put on our hearts. And Lord, what I ask today is that with whatever words it takes to open their hearts, Lord, that you will reach into them and get them to realize the mission, the power, and the calling, and even the ministry that each and every single one of them have. Because they are all yours. They are all powerful, they are all loved, and I cannot wait to see what each and every one can do on this earth. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Keith.
Love you, dude. Love you, brother. Appreciate you.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is great to be back. Everybody good this morning? Good. How was the Sloppy Joes this morning? I did it again, Brantley. Good stuff. Got it. Thank you, Dwayne. We're going to tighten that one day. It is about the 10th time I've done it. Well, it is great to be back this morning. You guys, if you've been here, the last couple of weeks have had the privilege to hear from two of our best, and that is Charlie Vifquin and Freddie Effinger. Charlie's not here this morning, but Freddie, where are you at? Right there, an attorney at law sharing the gospel who has now turned it over to a used car salesman. You only get that at the church at Southside right there. All right. Heritage Christian Academy, man, thank you guys for being here and serving. You guys thank them. Isn't that nice that they were here this morning to serve you guys? So thank you so much for being here. You are welcome anytime. Love those guys and love that school. All right. So Charlie, a few weeks back, I just want to recap kind of where we're at. We are in the study of Ephesians. I won't take long this morning, but I feel it's very, very timely message this morning. So Charlie, a few weeks back, he said he brought the gospel bird and the gospel word, right? He's a multi-tool player. He brought the Publix fried chicken last week, so we're excited about that. But he talked about being filled with the fullness of God. Anybody here remember Charlie talking about that? Being filled with the fullness of God, but not filled with the fullness of God to keep it to ourselves. Why are we filled with the fullness of God? Anybody want to take a stab at that? Frank, I know you know. To pour it out, right? That's why we're filled with the fullness of God. He talked about that from Ephesians. And then Freddie, I love this, man. Listen to you. You have power, you matter, and you are loved. Who believes that this morning? Everybody should touch the sky on that, right? You matter, you have power, and you are loved as a child of God. And he talked about examples in the gospel of walking in faith and walking in the impossible. Wonderful job by both. So this week I'm going to pick back up in Ephesians 4. I said this is a timely message because I'm going to ask a question before I read the verses, okay? Has anybody noticed, maybe in your circle of friends or maybe turning on the TV or just scrolling through your newsfeed, has anybody noticed, this is going to be a stretch I know for everybody, has anybody noticed that there are times lately in our society that there is a lack of unity? Anybody ever seen that? COVID, politics, just general arguments, right? Current affairs. Guys, I would love to say that the Church of Jesus Christ is immune to those things, but if I'm honest, I see some of that same disunity in the church. Do you know that we are called to lead the way in being unified? And I want you just to look around this parking lot right here. I'm a big numbers guy. I love numbers, except when it comes, I was horrible at math, but I love looking at numbers, right? Maybe my teachers didn't teach it in such a way that it made sense to me, especially, my God, why did you start adding letters to it? That doesn't make any sense at all, right? But I love looking at numbers, and I want to tell you this. When you look at Jesus and his disciples, you had Jesus. Now, we're going to give him this. He counts a little extra because he's the Son of God, right? But we look and we see that he started out this little band of followers, these disciples that were 12, and one of those didn't turn out so well. Those guys, along with the other followers and the ladies that were in that circle, it says later in Acts that these people, these disciples, literally turned the world upside down. Just a handful of people. Even as it started to grow into a few hundred, these people literally changed the course of human history. The fact that people would be gathered in Birmingham, Alabama, standing in a parking lot, talking about the same gospel, they made this huge difference. Now, here's what I want to ask you. Do you think that those people with different personalities, different giftings, different backgrounds, fishermen, tax collectors, zealots, and a man who was born of the Holy Spirit gathered in one party, I just bear to mention, or it stands to reason, that they didn't always have the same opinions. Everybody agree with that? You can look in this parking lot and there are different votes that went to different people on an election. There's different viewpoints on COVID. There's different viewpoints on current affairs. But yet, God calls us to be unified, together, one accord, to have this common ground. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I believe that it is possible, and not only possible, I believe that is our calling. We're called to it. And not just called to unity, but to call to lead the way. So I'm going to read the scripture this morning, and we're going to ask God to speak louder than any voice here this morning. You know, when I say that, I mean it more so than my voice, but I also mean this. I want you to just stop for just a second, and let's enter into scripture with a prayerful heart. I pray that he speaks louder than any voice of accusation or shame or a feeling of not measuring up, that you're not worthy to hear this. Can I give you a news flash this morning? Everybody look this way. Your sin, no matter how it's packaged, is not so special that the grace of Jesus doesn't cover it. You're not that special on your sin. Doesn't matter. You say, well, I don't know, but you don't know what I... It doesn't matter. In fact, your sin could be wrapped this morning in a really good package. It could be a super religious spirit, where you're just following the rules and all this, but that has blinded you from relationship. It could be something that you ingested into your body last night, an addiction. Could be a way of life. Doesn't really matter. Your sin is not so special that it doesn't allow you to be a child of God, a son or daughter. So will you read scripture with that heart in mind this morning? Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to talk about the first 7 verses. So Paul starts in this way. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and the Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you for your word. We believe in this place, if it's someone's first time and they don't know why we would read from this book, we believe that it is God-breathed and just as important right now today in 2021 as it was when it was inspired by you, Holy Spirit, and written to be passed on, this specific book, this letter to the church of Ephesus, and then passed on to the church as well, and passed on to us as the church. No matter what church we belong to, we are a part of your church if we believe in you. And so, Jesus, you are the head. You call us to unity in the body. And not only, I believe, have you called us, but you've given us the way to do this. And so may we just listen with attentive hearts and minds today and spirits and listen to your voice above mine, above any other voice that is speaking this morning. We pray and we ask it In Jesus' name, amen. So if ever there was a time for unity, anybody agree with me the time is now? The church has to lead the way. Now, I got newsflash for you. We talk about this all the time out here. If you look at that old potato chip truck over there, I think it used to be used for military stuff, but I like to picture it as Golden Flake because I like potato chips. Hadn't had one in a while, but I like them. But if you look at that truck, it's got the name, the Church at Southside. All right, that's little C. That's this little family gathering. We kind of took a letter from the Gospels of the Church of Ephesus, the Church at Corinth, the Church. We are just simply being the church in the south side of Alabama. Our story makes a little more sense now because we used to be the church at Southside that met on the north side. All right, we're directionally challenged. It works that way. Kind of fit. But when I talk about the church, the capital C, I'm talking about the body of Jesus Christ, right? He is the head. Every believer who has ever believed is the family of God. Freddie and I joked about it this morning. That's my brother, right? I went to the beach and I'm trying to resemble him even more, right? I got a little darker. You can see the resemblance, but that is my brother, right? Through the Holy Spirit, deeper than even a blood bond. Right? When we first started talking, man, when we just met each other, we said, that's my brother right there. We knew. There was this instant connection, this unity. And here's the thing. I can tell you this. Freddie and I don't agree on everything. We may not have the same background. We may not have the same pot. We may not have, but he and I are at a place where we don't care about that. We unite in what unites us. Amen? That's spoiler alert. All right, so we're talking about the church. So I don't care if you're visiting this morning, your membership is at another place, or if you consider yourself a member here, or you consider yourself a member somewhere else. I'm talking to the church this morning. We are to lead the way in unity. There is so much division, and I wish it was absent from the church, but you guys know, especially those that have been in meetings or talked with friends, and how do we handle this situation? How do we handle that situation? You know that disunity comes up all the time. How is that so when God has called us, mandated us to lead the way in unity? There ought not be a more unified group in all of the world than the Church of Jesus Christ. I want you to think about this morning. What about us? How can we lead the way, this way that Paul, and more importantly, Jesus, has called us to? I'm going to read about it more at the end of today's talk, but I want to just take you back to a moment before we get into Paul's thing and breaking this down here. Does anybody remember the high priestly prayer, John 17? Do you know that Jesus, in his last really moments before he's heading to the cross, do you know that he prayed for you? Man, I want to tell you, some people are blown away by it and have never really understood the context. If you go to John 17, he prays for all sorts of people. He prays for his disciples that are with him. He's praying about what's about to happen. He is just in kind of this, you know, the mindset of everything that is weighing in on Jesus, the separation that is about to happen between him and the Father for the first time ever in all of existence. He's going to be separated because of your and my sin. And in all of that, Jesus says, I'm praying for my disciples that are here, that you would be with them, Father. But then he gets to a beautiful part in Scripture where he says, not only them, but those who will believe in their message. That's me and that's you. Jesus has his whole world crumbling down around him, and he stops and he prays for you. And here is what he prays. He doesn't pray, would you help them be good boys and girls and obey everything I've said? Will you help them attend church regularly? Will you help them this and that and help little old ladies across? He doesn't pray any of those things. In that moment, here is what he prays. Freddie, back me up on this. He prays that we would be one, and then he ups it from there and says, not just one, not just together, not just this common ground, but he is praying to, basically, if you want to really bake your noodle, he's praying to himself, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He's God. And he says to the Father, just as you and I are one, make them one. That we are capable of having the same unity as the Father and Son, the creators of everything. He said, make them one like we are one. I'm so glad it wasn't on human terms, man. That's deep stuff, right? I want to be transparent this morning. I used to read this verse, and I could tell you several verses that are in the vein of this, and it would scare the bejesus out of me. And the reason it did is because I'm going to be completely honest. Some of you call me pastor. I prefer Keith. But I stand here with a Bible open a lot of times, or, you know, we're gathered together, and sometimes, I don't know why, but sometimes there is this feeling of like, I kind of know more, or what, that's not true at all, that I don't have struggles with sin. Can I tell you, I am the chief of sinners in this parking lot. I know that for a fact because I know me. And when I would read verses like this, and I'm going to be completely honest, okay? So Paul is writing in chains for his faith. He says, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. I very rarely feel like I walk in a manner worthy. I don't feel it. I don't feel that. When I look in the mirror, I say, golly, I messed up again. I've sinned this morning. Since I've been here, I've sinned this morning. I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to tell you who, but I've seen somebody say, man, I don't like that guy. If you're thinking it's you, you're probably right. No, I'm just kidding. It's not. I'm just saying, right? Like, that's not a manner worthy. I'm here to love. I'm here to serve. But I just, you get what I'm saying, right? By the way, guess that's nobody here that's a guest this morning. Somebody was here, it always stirs trouble, right? I don't feel like I walk in a manner worthy of the calling. But here is why that used to scare me, because I used to be in this behavior modification business. I used to be really religious. And when I say religious, I don't mean that I didn't cuss. I still did that, and if I'm quite honest, I still do sometimes. We know Jesse does. We got him on tape, right? In a prayer. That's really feeling like close to Jesus, if you're bold enough to do that in a prayer. But what I mean by this is, and I'm going to be very transparent, I didn't plan to share this morning, but when my family had a calling to come to Birmingham, I was encouraged to really read the Gospels. And I thought that was pretty stupid, to be honest, because I was like, if there's any book in the Bible I know, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Like, everybody's read those. It's just the life of Jesus. It's the story of Jesus. But the reason I was encouraged to read them was like, with all of this calling to be like Jesus, what better place to look and operate than the Gospels? Read that and try to be like that. Everybody look this way. Let me tell you what I encountered when I did that. I found myself. I found myself in the pages of the Gospels, but it wasn't Jesus. In fact, it wasn't even the disciples. Heck, I would have settled for Judas at that point. Where I resembled myself was the Pharisees, the keepers of the law, the ones that somehow felt that by their good deeds and lack of bad deeds that they had arrived. And I was heartbroken to the core. See, I like to think that's where my life, and I'm still struggling with it, but I like to think that's where it went from religion to relationship. I want to offer some words of freedom this morning that maybe you don't get, and I'm praying with the power of the Holy Spirit you will. It doesn't matter what you do or don't do. Do you understand this morning the love of the gospel? You cannot earn any more favor than Jesus walking up a hill and dying for you. It is not possible to be loved any more than that. And nothing you do makes him love you any less. For example, I will say that as Jesus laid there willingly on a cross to be nailed, the words that he said were, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. If he can forgive those who are actively nailing him to a cross, he can forgive your sins that placed him there. All the same. Ronnie, you with me? Amen. You are loved. Doesn't matter what you did last night. It doesn't matter what you'll do today or what you'll do tomorrow. Does he want better for you? Does he have a calling? Yes. He doesn't want you to miss the mark. Sin pains him, but he loves you all the same. It is not based on your behavior. It is based on the grace of Jesus Christ and nothing more. And boy, I'm going to tell you, I am so glad. So I would read this verse, walk in a manner worthy. I didn't feel that was the case, but see, I'd missed this verse altogether because what he's talking about here is simply this. Just be you. Just be who you were made to be. Just be a follower of Christ. Walk in that manner worthy. Well, what manner worthy is that? What does that mean? Listen to what he says. See if this doesn't sound real fruit of the Spirit right here. To walk in humility and gentleness and patience and bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the Spirit and the bond of peace. Can I tell you this? COVID disagreements, religious disagreements, political disagreements cannot stand when it is encountered with humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love, and an eager spirit to maintain unity in the bond of peace. It's fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to tell you, like, I'm wearing an American t-shirt. I love my country, but can I be honest? I care less who you voted for. I don't care. I really don't. I mean, I think you should be involved. I think all of those things. But you know what? There's something greater that brings about unity than your political party, and it's the Spirit of God. I'm more concerned, do you have a bond with me in that? Are you my brother? Are you my sister? I don't care about the rest. But do you know we've lost the spiritual ability to disagree on some of these things and move on and be like, okay. I don't know about you, but I remember, like, I grew up, and I remember even presidential elections that I couldn't vote for. And I remember adults talking to one another, get this, in actually an adult way and saying, I voted for Bill Clinton. And then you would hear one, okay, well, I voted for George Bush. And you know what they did? Okay. And they walked away and were still friends. It's amazing, right? And now people are like on this thing of like, well, I can't believe that. I'll never sit down and have dinner with it. Let me tell you this. I don't care your lifestyle. I don't care where you live, if it's the penthouse or the outhouse. I don't care your background. You are welcome at my dinner table. In Jesus' name, you're welcome. In the Spirit of God, you are welcome. We don't have to agree on those things. I don't care about those things. And I'm going to be honest. I think it's time that the church doesn't care about those little minor things when we're talking about the big picture. Fruit of the Spirit. I want to tell you this. If you're listening and you think, man, that just doesn't come natural to me, right? Like, I got to win the argument. Anybody feel that? Husbands, don't point at your wives, right? You just got to win the argument. Wives, don't point at your husband. I'll throw that out there, even though we know that's not how it probably goes, right? But you say, man, that doesn't feel natural to me. I got good news for you. It's not. But the good news is that it is supernatural. If you have the Holy Spirit of God living in you, you can choose to do this, to lay down self and pick up the Savior and live in Him instead of you. I'm going to tell you, that's a better way to operate. Everybody agree with that? I've seen how it handles when I live in Keith, but man, when I live in the Spirit, there is a big, big difference. Let me read these verses back. I want you to listen to the word one. One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all in all. Kind of sounds like Bob Marley, right? One love, one heart. Maybe Paul inspired that. I don't know. I know it's good stuff. But one body, one Spirit. Do you know that there's one body? It doesn't matter what church you belong to. The body, one body. One Spirit of God, one hope. Is everybody's hope this morning in Jesus? I hope so. I hope that's the hope that you have. One hope, one Lord. Anybody want to disagree with that this morning, that Jesus is Lord of all? One faith that is in Him, one baptism that is in Him, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And one God. Guys, I'm going to tell you, if we'll operate in that spirit, that we are eager, it says, to keep this bond of peace, to walk in the Spirit and think about the one body, one spirit, one love, all of these things, that God can do so much to bring unity in a world that is so divided. Can I offer a freeing statement? Some of you need to hear this. In fact, you need to break out a pen. Break out your notepad on your phone. You don't have to win every agreement. What? I don't have to be right every time? For that guy that voted for the person that I think's evil, I don't have to argue till I turn red in the face. That, you realize that some of that stuff is killing us on the inside. You are so stressed and so worked up and so anxiety-ridden over stuff that it's going to fly away one day. Right? I'm going to be honest, some of our president is probably not even going to be in heaven with us. I hate to tell you that. And that's elephants and donkeys. Washington needs Jesus. They're not going to save you, but Jesus will. Some of us that are divided racially, I will tell you, we got the same spirit. I don't care if you're black. I don't care if you're white. I've met black folks I don't like. I've met white folks I don't like. They don't like me, some. Don't matter. Everybody with me this morning that we're operating on a different spirit as the church, or we should be? Rosalind, I see you back there. Thank you, sweetie. Right? I see you, Diane. That we operate on this different level, man, of stuff that matters. So here's what I'm going to walk you through. If you're at a disagreement over something, try this next time. Instead of arguing your point, how about come back to a place where you say this, hey, are you a brother? Are you a sister of mine? Let's unite in that and let all that other stuff take care of itself. Don't worry about it. I promise you, you're going to feel a lot better. The stress level is going to drop. Some of you might need to sit down and have a drink and just like, ease, calm down, man. Some of you worked up. I'm sorry for my Southern Baptists in the crowd, but drink some Coke or something. I don't know. Do something. Man, it's like tension. Y'all feel it? Some of y'all even looking at me like with tension. And I'm going to be honest, I kind of love it. My rebellious spirit kind of loves that. Love rooted in Christ. So I mentioned this earlier. I want to close with this. I think it's beautiful to close with the words of Jesus. I kind of talked about his high priestly prayer, and I kind of feel like this is Paul being taught by Jesus and led by his Spirit. I want to read the words of Jesus where he prayed for you and I. And I love this. I love when we don't have to wonder about a scripture. There is a place in this scripture where he talks about our unity. And he gives us the reason why. He says, so that. You don't have to wonder. You know, Jesus, why do you want us to be one? Is it just so we can gather together and sing Kumbaya and just celebrate? No. That would be a cheesy reason. There's a real reason that he wants us to be unified. Listen, if anybody ought to be unified, it is a group of sinners that have found where there is bread, and we're telling other beggars. That's not mine, right? I love that statement. We just know where the bread's at, man. We just telling other beggars, hey, I know you're hungry. I know where there's bread. You won't ever be hungry again. I know where there's a well that doesn't run dry. Right? That's what this place is about. If you've ever wondered, if you're not into that kind of unity, then I'll just say maybe it's not the place for you. We're not in it. We're not about division here. We're unifying in Jesus' name. One accord, common ground. Let's listen to the words of Jesus and we'll close. This is in John 17, verse 20. And he says this, he says, I do not ask for these only. He's talked just recently in this prayer to the Father about his earthly disciples in that moment. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Who believes in Jesus through the word this morning? Jesus prayed for you. And I don't know how, but I'm just going to tell you, I believe this, that I believe when he did, He didn't just somehow in this moment pray and just cast it over. I somehow know that he thought of me. Here's one thing I can tell you. I recently walked my daughter down an aisle to give her away to her husband. Now, I love Jameson. It's a beautiful moment. I was so excited to do it, but then there's also that side of a dad, like, man, right? Heavy stuff. And all I can tell you is that walking down that aisle, that an earthly sinful dad had every moment of my daughter's life flash in front of me. It's like walking down my little girl, right? She'll always be my little girl. And I'm walking, I'm seeing people like look back at us. And then I got the privilege to then swap out and do the service. And I'm standing there watching husband and wife join together as one. And an earthly sinful dad had all these moments. Let me tell you, Jesus thought of you in that moment. Not only for these, but those who will believe, that they may all, not some of them, not the majority of them, that they may all be one, not just kind of one, but just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they may also be in us. There's the connection, right? We can't do it on our own, but connected to them, we can. Here's what he says, though. Not that we will follow all the rules, not that we will get everything right, not that we will attend church, or not that we will tithe our money, that we will be one so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Everybody look this way. You, whether you know it or not, or have accepted a calling in the ministry, when you bow the knee and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you accepted a call in the ministry to be who you are called to be and who I cannot be. I'm looking around the parking lot right now. Jeff, I see you back there. Melissa, I see you. Dwayne, Jake, I see you. I cannot be who God made you to be. Billy Graham, gone before us, right? No doubt he's in heaven. I'm sure he's got probably a nice spread up there. Billy Graham can't do what I'm called to do. One, he's dead. Sorry, too soon, right? But you can't do what Billy Graham was called to do. Like, it's just, we were made for these things to do, right? Frank, you've got a calling on your life I can't fulfill. But we unite together as a body, Jesus being the head. And here's the calling I know that we all have, that we be one so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Can I tell you a beautiful testimony this morning? I'm a car guy and there's a Toyota Tacoma coming up right now. I want everybody to look. It's white. Look at them. Look at them just driving by all smug in their Tacoma. I'm just kidding. How you doing this morning? Here's what I'm telling you about those folks right there. It's funny, make a bad joke and I get choked up. They walk by and they see black and white. They see Democrat, Republican. They see people who live in the penthouse or the outhouse. Like what? I don't know what all they see, but I can tell you what they do see. They see people together in the Spirit of God, and it's a testimony that screams so that they will know that I was sent by you, Father. That we would be one. That's what he's called us to. So whether you leave this place and wherever you go, if you call this your church or you don't, just know that you have a calling that the world, the lost world, may know. I'll leave you with this in closing. There is no plan B. The beautiful bride and the church of Jesus Christ is the only plan that he left in place. Do you agree this morning our world needs unity? Who's going to show them? Let's lead the way. Let's start right here. In this parking lot, in this city, in this county, in this state, in our world, in our nation, I believe that this group gathered around right here could start a revival that shows oneness in God through the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You pray with me? Father, we love you. We thank you this morning. My prayer is that if someone here, first off, doesn't know you, that today would be the day of salvation. wouldn't leave this place without entering into relationship with you. If that's you this morning, man, please grab somebody up, talk with them, myself, anyone. Be glad to talk with you about that. It's so simple. In fact, I'm going to tell you this. If you've already reached a place in your heart this morning, you say, I need you, Jesus, I need you. Someone that will lay down on a cross and say, forgive them. They know not what they do. I need that person as my Savior. Then you're already in. You're already a child of God. I believe that. In Jesus' name, that's enough. The Holy Spirit tugging at your heart and you believe you're in. No special dance, no special prayer. Nothing extra you got to do. It's just simply believing, coming to the end of yourself and coming to a Savior and saying, Jesus, I need you. Would you do that in your heart right now if you never have? I promise it'll change your life. If you've already believed, if you count yourself as my brother, my sister, you would count me as your brother. You've already believed. Why not today renew? Jesus, make us one. In your groups, in your friends, in your community group, in your church, at work, with other believers, that you would be the one that takes it on themselves to say, Holy Spirit, would you work through me to make us one? When disagreements pop up, that I would be able to come in and be a peacemaker, that I would walk with gentleness and humility, patience, kindness, and love. It really does change things if we walk outside of ourselves and walk in you. Jesus, our world needs that. This city needs it. Start with us right here. Then when people drive by today, that they see a group of people together and maybe even just, Father, you speak through that. I wonder what they're doing there. Let them know that we are one because, Jesus, you were sent by the Father for relationship. We thank you for the beautiful news today that us as sinners, me being chief and others joining in probably in that statement with me, it doesn't matter what we've done, what we're doing, or what we will do, that you look at us through the blood of Jesus and say, beloved son, beloved daughter, that is the good news of Jesus Christ we proclaim today. We love you. We thank you. Thank you for everyone that's been here this morning. Father, just continue to speak. We pray that even as we give out supplies here in just a few moments, that those are blessings, not just physically, but if someone cracks a can this week out of that, Father, you just remind them again of your love and provision. That's from you. And so we give you all honor and glory. We love you. We thank you. We pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All the seasons change.